Hi, it's Louis. Come to you from Atlanta, Georgia on the Passion Podcast. We're so glad to have you guys with us today. And I don't know if you're a college student. You know, Brad, we got a lot of college students listening to this. Like 400 or 500 college students are linked in with us right now across America and around the world. And if you're a college student, you're probably thinking, I want to listen to this podcast, but I really need to be studying for my midterms right now because it's that time of year and exams are coming down, projects are coming, papers are due. Your favorite time of year, Brad. I know you love that.
It's just painful to think about.
But you know, here's the thing, and I just want to encourage you today that whatever you do, don't look at it as a mountain. Don't look at it as Mount Midterm. It's too big, it's too daunting, and it'll bury you if you do. You've got to take it in a little chunk and say, okay, I have a little window of time today, right now. What can I do to push the ball forward? What can I do to get a little more prepared for what's coming around the corner? And hopefully, this isn't the first time you've thought about that. And we are behind you. We just want you to know that. We're praying for you, believing in you. Don't get overwhelmed with the magnitude of it, but take what you can do today in this moment, in this little window of time. Do your best and keep pressing on. And just remember, you're halfway home, and then it's going to be Christmas and New Year, and then it's going to be Passion season.
Come on.
And that's the good news. It's going to spur people on to say, I'm going to do my best because I'm going to get through this, and then I'm going to be at Passion. Passion number one, Atlanta, is coming really quick, January 2nd through the 4th, and then Passion Atlanta number two and Passion Houston. We're all on this journey to Passion 2015 together. And I just wanted to remind you, by the way, that we're halfway to another price increase. So if you're thinking about coming, you need to get organized. And you need to come this year. People are always telling me, you know, I'm thinking about coming to Houston this year, but I might come next year. And I'm like, do you know more than we know about Passion? Because we only know that there's this year right now. And, you know, certainly there is going to be something out there in the future. But with Passion, it's usually never the same every single time. So if you want to come to Passion Houston, you need to come this year. You need to get on board right now and jump in and be a part of that. And if you're thinking about coming to Passion Atlanta number one, you need to get busy fast. Yep. High school seniors already closed out, has been closed for a while, but there's still a little bit of space, just a tiny bit, for 18 to 25 year olds, college students, and their leaders. And so I would just encourage you, do not think, I'm going to wait, the price is going up 1st of November, I'm just going to wait and do it then. No, you need to do it right now if you want to be a part of Atlanta number one.
Yep.
You really probably need to just stop listening to the podcast right now and get online and register, and then you can come back and listen to the podcast after that.
Yeah, I'm a professional procrastinator, and coming from me, he's not just telling you that. Do it or you'll be out of luck if all of your friends are already signed up and then it sells out. Next thing you know, you might not get to go with them. So sign up now. Figure it out.
Atlanta number one's closing out fast. The good news, though, if you can't get into Atlanta number one, you get to go to Atlanta number two or Houston. And that's where Christine Kane, our special guest today, is going to be speaking at Atlanta number two and in Houston. And man, Christine, what a Jesus tsunami this woman is. I mean, she rolls through the door. You need to have like a poncho on. I mean, it is a torrent of God's word, of energy, of life, of encouragement and challenge. And I'm so excited about bringing her on. And so we're going to take a real short break, get right to that interview. And so we'll be right back after this break. Stay with us. Christine Kane's joining us when we get back. His love breaking through my heart of stone. Love breathing to awake my bones. Love preaching how to save my soul. Love never gonna let me go. Love calling me as I am. Love making me new again. Love lifting me when I can. Love never gonna let me go. So it's amazing having Christine Kane in Atlanta, Georgia, and on the Passion Podcast today.
Finally, it's taken you long enough to ask me. I'm so pumped to be here.
Well, if I had known that, we'd have asked you a whole lot sooner, but I'm glad you're here now. You know, California, where you live, Shelly and I were just there. Had the privilege of being with you and Nick at your place out in California. Pretty special place where you live. And so I just want to say that out loud on the podcast. People, you have no idea how glorious and amazing it is to be Christine and Nick Kane, to wake up and see what they see in Southern California every day. It's pretty special.
It is one of the most beautiful places in the world. And, you know, Nick and I have traveled pretty much a lot of countries. And Right here, who would have thought? Right here in America. Now, I came to Atlanta and I could see the similarities. It was identical, you know, the ocean, the sand, that kind of feel. I almost thought I'm in Southern California.
Hey, when we get an ocean in Atlanta, it is going to instantly vault to the number one city in the world.
Come on.
As soon as we get an ocean, we're going to be at the top of the heap. Your story is pretty remarkable, and people know you as an author. They know you as a speaker. You speak for a lot of events. You speak for your stream and family from Hillsong, but also Women of Faith. People know you, various churches. They've heard you speak. You've spoken at Passion. But your story was a very circuitous route in that you had a very tough time at the very beginning of your life. And some people know that story and some people don't. But can you tell people listening today just where Christine Cain came from?
Sure.
And what that process of discovery was for you and what that means for you today as you're processing your life?
Sure. Well, you know, Louis, I think for me, you know, you started saying I speak at a whole lot of places. In the New Testament, when we're called living epistles, I really am. Like, for me, it's not so much sit down and write a brilliant exegetical sermon from, you know, a text out of the Bible as much as, Christine, you're it. You're going to have to walk through this. And your life is a living example of the grace and the glory of God, really. And, you know, in a nutshell, I guess, because we're here on a podcast, but I was left in a hospital in Australia by my biological mother, who I don't know. And I didn't find out until I was 33 that I was adopted, but I was left abandoned. My birth certificate actually does not have a name on it. It says child's name. Literally, it's got typed in the word unnamed, number 2508 of 1966. Mm. And so, you know, I guess where you go, what's the start? The start was instantly kind of rejection and abandonment. And from there, it kind of went downhill, if it's possible, for the next few years. And I was adopted by a wonderful mum and dad. My parents were, my immediate nuclear family was wonderful. But unfortunately, I really wasn't protected when it came to the next circle of relationships in my life. So for 12 years of my life, Louis, I was sexually abused by four men consistently, like several times. So people that I should have, that my parents trusted, that had access to our lives, but were very destructive with my life. And I grew up, you know, in the poorest zip code in New South Wales, the state that I grew up in. It was the third poorest zip code in Australia. So in government-assisted housing and second-generation migrant Greek before my Big Fat Greek wedding, when it was not cool to be Greek in Australia at all. Now, baklava and moussaka is really cool. But when I was growing up, we were so mocked and ridiculed for having that kind of stuff in our lunchboxes, because I grew up in Australia where everyone had Vegemite sandwiches. And so Vegemite, moussaka didn't match. And so I grew up with a lot of rejection, a lot of shame. You know, every time I stand on a platform, I recognize that people perhaps see a gift that God's given me, but both God and I know that that is entirely God, because I know where I came from. I know the shame and the guilt and the condemnation, the insecurity, the fear, the bitterness, the unforgiveness that I have had to walk through. And increasingly, I mean, I have to continue to this day. I always say I'm only ever one thought away from going back to thinking how I used to think. So when I talk with such passion about the Word of God and immersing yourself in the presence of God, I mean, it's life support for me. So I'm like, I'm so glad other people are getting something out of it. But for me, it's not a game. It's not a gimmick. It's not a self-help motivational seminar. It is in the marrow of my bones. Jesus and His Word saved my life, literally.
Yeah, I know that's just resonating so strongly with people listening to this all over the world. I know some people in Australia listening right now heard the word Vegemite, and they're resonating on a whole different level. But people instantly are resonating with you, because we all come from somewhere, and for the most part, all of us have struggled with this question: am I good enough? And am I ever going to be enough?
Yeah.
And the gospel obviously is the foundation that revolutionizes that for all of us. But I think when I hear you teach and preach and open up God's word, what you're saying is we can overcome.
Totally.
We can overcome. And it's not just a message. It really is your living life, because you have overcome so much by the power of God.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's the resurrection power of Jesus that lives in us. You know, Louis, I meet so many people that perhaps I say, you know, I use the language, they're doing laps around Mount Sinai for 40 years, kind of the same old offense, the same old hurt. And, you know, we're taping this today. I'm not sure you guys that are listening to this, but, you know, next week, less than a week from now, I'm going to turn 48. So I was abused for 12 years. Nothing will ever change that. Now, the blood of Jesus does not give you amnesia. I mean, my past is my past. But I have not been being abused for 36 years. So why would I allow 12 years to define the outcome of my entire life? Beautiful. When the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me, and he died and he took all of that upon himself and all the agony of those 12 years so that I could live these 36, and who knows how many more he's going to give me every day, is such a grace. Why would I live any less than what he died to give me? I actually don't know why. I think it's doing him a disservice and what he appropriated for all of us at the cross. Yeah. That's what I would think.
And you know, I love your parallel of people doing 40 years of lapping around Sinai. We sometimes spend our whole life in the Christian church just lapping around the cross.
There you go.
And we sing all these songs about it, and we could answer all the right questions about it, but we never see that reality that it is by his stripes that we are healed.
Yes.
And that it is in him bearing the wounds of what has been inflicted onto us and what we've inflicted onto other people, that both of those things are reconciled by the body of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And we are changed.
Totally.
We might not be changed. We are changed.
Come on.
Something might not happen to us in the future or might happen to us in the future. It has happened to us at the cross. It's a reality. And you're living in that reality. And I think I love that about you and Nick both, because you guys are going for it. You know, Nick's running A21 campaign, which is a front runner to bringing freedom to all manner of people, not just women, on this planet who are being taken advantage of. And what you have done in the last 5 to 10 years, how old is A21 campaign?
7 years.
Seven years. So it's right in there, 5 to 10 years. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
And so Nick is spearheading this day by day. I know that Nick is sort of like Command Central for the Kane family. And so that means he has a tsunami living in his house. So that's quite a bit of management and oversight. And then you're speaking everywhere all the time. You're writing. You have your own podcast. You're in the mix of so many things. Both of you, to me, define what it means to live life to the full, like there's going to be an expiration date at some point.
Yes.
And you want to make sure you didn't leave a lot on the shelf at the end of that day. So how do you view that? And, you know, the ordinary question is going to be, how do you balance all that? I think that's a ridiculous question. I'm not a big believer in balance.
I'm glad you didn't ask that, because I would. And, you know, I have to.
People who don't feel real balanced don't like that question.
No way.
And I don't like that question. But what is your viewpoint on, for example, some people may know that you had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote about it recently.
Yeah.
I happen to know because you had told us when we were with you a few weeks ago when you had surgery. Your most recent surgery. And then I saw, it seemed like 5 days later, three days later,
yes.
You were speaking somewhere. And I'm thinking, the surgeon didn't know about this. He probably didn't get the full story on this. And then I saw you in another place and another place. And then here you are today. How do you view you and Nick's use of time on earth? And I know you're amazing parents.
Yes.
I see that in your daughters. But yet you have such a great wake that you're leaving behind you.
Yeah. I think it's all great. I mean, you know, there's probably three levels to answer that, and I'll get to me being back as it is. But, you know, if there's from a theological perspective, I'll just say this. I really believe the words of Isaiah, who says, "Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You will mount up on wings, we'll mount up on wings like eagles. We will run," scripture says, "and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint." I've been preaching that for 20 years. I'm now 48. And I think finally some people are starting to listen, because, you know, because by now I should be hitting some kind of wall. All the naysayers have never been in the world. It's more in the church. Like, you know, sometimes you really don't need the devil when you've got Christians, because they will sort of say things to you like that are so contrary to scripture, because scripture says that.
Well, let's not name anybody particularly.
No, I'm just being generic and funny.
A few people just popped right into my mind.
My thing is, on the Christian journey, we're on a journey from what? From glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. And so I'm like, I'm not planning on, you know, I'm going out in a blaze of glory. So I'm not quite sure what people think that we're supposed to be slowing slowing down, because with every day that goes is one day less. Now, I think there's a difference between being led by the Spirit of God or being driven by your own brokenness. And so when you're driven, you're going to inevitably hit some kind of wall, because you're trying to get your needs, your affirmation, your significance and your security from where you speak, how big your crowds are, what kind of accolades you get. I'm so indifferent. I mean, anyone that knows me for any length of time, and I've been around for more than 5 minutes now, I'm so not driven. We're as passionate about the church we just planted in Warsaw that's got 70 people in it as I am. You know, I've spoken to probably 30,000 people just in the last couple of days in a few events that I've done. So, and not both to me, get me out of bed, and I'm ready, like, let's go charge hell with a water pistol. And so I think that as we get older, in fact, there should be more passion, more zeal. If we're doing it right, if we're actually resting on Christ in us, the hope of glory, he's not running out of steam, so I don't know why I should. Now, here we go into alignment of, yes, that spirit, the Spirit of Jesus lives on the inside of this mortal body, and I understand that. So, you know, we're jars of clay, we're earthen vessels, very broken. I get all of that. And I've got a natural physical body, and this physical body did go. You know, I've had 10 weeks of a major journey. I've had two surgeries. I had a growth in my throat that was taken out, and then the cancer diagnosis. I had thyroid cancer, stage one. And then I had that out 11 days ago now. And then 3 days after that, I was on a plane, and then I spoke at Women of Faith. So that was an arena full in Philadelphia. And as you know, I've done several other events since then. So the thing is, I said to my doctor, even when we were setting the schedule, I said, can I speak? And he said to me, yes. He goes, you know, most people don't ask me. They normally ask me, how long can I have off? Like, can you write me a script to not go back to work sooner? And so I just saw this as a great opportunity. He loved it. He loved the fact, because he obviously, to be a surgeon and to be as good as he is, you know that you're pretty good. And so people like me are like, it's exactly what he's always said. This is how you should recover from this kind of surgery. Now, my father had a very, very different diagnosis to mine. He had, he in time died, and he had stage 4 lung cancer. It was horrific, and he worked right up to when he just actually could not. There was no way, and we drove him to treatments, and we had a whole team that helped him. And so I know both sides, but I knew that I could, and I'm not looking for having any more days off than I need to have, because I didn't need to have them. And so why have them? So there's not a drivenness. Part of mine was because the devil really came from my throat too. I had, you know, a throat growth, and I had thyroid cancer, and I had nodules and a throat infection. And for me, it was just this little thing that I had with God going, oh, if the devil's going to come from my throat, I'm just going to speak louder and faster and further. And if I'm going to go to heaven, because there was a few weeks in there that we did not know the extent of the diagnosis or what it was actually going to come out to be. And so at that time, both Nick and I, you know, made a decision that if I'm going home, I'm taking as many people home as I can. Right. So it's like, I'm going to speak wherever I can, as much as I can, and give as many altar calls as I can, and invite people to receive Jesus, you know. And I was going to make sure, because if I was going to go home, because we're all going to go home one day, and, you know, death is the way most of us are going to get there. So the fact was that I had to work out, do I want to stand before Jesus and say, and have him say, wow, glad you had so much time off, glad you rested, glad you had balance. I didn't realize I sent you to earth to be balanced. Or, well done, good and faithful servant, you did everything that I called you to do. And so it wouldn't have mattered. No one has to give an account for my life, so they don't have to compare it to Chris Kane and go, oh no, do I have to go and speak 2 days later? You just have to make sure you do what you're supposed to do. So I'm only going to give an account for my life. And to whom much is given, much is required. I believe that in every sphere of life. So I don't believe, to be honest with you, Louis, that I'm doing anything extraordinary. I think Nick would say, he's sitting right here with me, exactly the same thing. We simply, hopefully, like every other Christ follower, wake up every day and go, Father, what is your will for us? And let us play our part. And I'm accountable to play my part. And to some, scripture says that he's given 5 talents, to some 2, to some 1, each according to their ability. A lot of the body doesn't like to acknowledge that God says that we each have varying abilities. So I'm not going to allow a one-person ability person to try to dictate what my recovery should be if God has ordained me to be a five-teller for that. And then I'm responsible to take my five and turn it into 11. And so just like the one or the should make it two and the two-talent Christian should make it four, we each grow to where we need to go. But most Christians don't want to stretch to grow to where they need to go. So they're like, I'm happy to stay at two. And, you know, whatever I started as, I think, a negative 10. And, you know, and I'm like, wow, there was enough that the devil stole from me. I am not giving him any more. And I've got nothing to prove to anyone, but I've got plenty to obey Jesus with. You know what I mean? This is obedience to Jesus to me. It's not. So the fact that my body has recovered well, in between what you see me doing, which is the obvious kind of speaking stuff, we're resting wherever I need to do that. And, you know, this is what I come down to is, and Nick and I have had to be careful just because in every measure of our life wouldn't be normal. Not when we got married and when Nick asked me to marry him, the one thing we never wanted to be was normal. So why would I sell out for normality now when we didn't want that? But, you know, my bottom line is as long as my pastors and I've got people in my life that are living even bigger lives than me. So I am not going to take my counsel from people that would love to shrink my world. I want to take it. I've got to be under submission and under authority. Nick and I have been under one pastor for 25 years, planted in one church. So we are under authority and we ran everything by them. And they're like, you know, go for it. If the doctor said yes, we ran it past our doctor and he said yes. In fact, I'm his poster child now. They're going to run an article on me in UCLA because this is like awesome. And what, you know, who gets the glory out of all of this? God. That's what happens. Because who am I going to talk about in that article in UCLA? Jesus. And then as much as I'm going to talk about the awesome doctor, but the, what they deem the recovery, you know, miracles sometimes we think is like, let a leg reappear. But I think sometimes it's just an acceleration of certain things. And the fact that my healing process appears to be accelerated, well, that's got the attention of some of these medical people. And so, you know, I still had to go through the surgery. It's not, I wish that I didn't have to, but I did. But the fact that I've bounced back by the grace of God, it is God. And then it's great for my daughters because I don't want little weak-willed girls that don't have a little bit of gumption. I love them to see that this didn't need to take anything more from our family. They didn't, you know, they saw the reality of it. They've seen my scar. They saw me come out of hospital that day. You know, it was pretty brutal to say the least. I had, you know, I've got a good chunk taken out of my neck. So they saw the reality of that, but they've also seen this is what it means to pray, to believe God, and then to work together with God to say, let's just take a step at a time. So at 48, I planned if whatever days the Lord gives me, and especially, you know, when you're sitting on a bed at UCLA Hospital, you got a bunch of surgeons around you and they're about to slash your throat, and you do this. At that moment, all you really care about is that you have done everything God has asked you to do. And that's really all you care about, because all perhaps the naysayers or the people that at that moment, I promise you, I never thought once, gee, I wish I listened to everyone and didn't go out as much as I did. All I kept thinking, even as I was going under, was thank you, God, that since I was 22 years old, and I'm so sorry it took me that long to get it all worked out, but since from 22 to 48, we've just every day to the best of our ability done everything we can to live fruitful lives, because it's to our Father's great glory that we bear much fruit.
So great. So great. I love it. I really pray this message goes into the fabric of especially our passion audience, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21 year olds. Because when you said the phrase that you said, I remember when Shelley and I met. And as we fell in love and we knew pretty fast that we were going to eventually be married, we knew that pretty much the first 2 months we knew each other. And all we kept saying to each other was, we don't want to be normal. We don't want to be normal. We don't want to be normal. Even when we got married, we faced the congregation and the pastor had his back to the congregation because we wanted the people to see us taking our vows. I've never been to a wedding ever before or since where the couple didn't have their backs to the crowd, but they had their faces to the crowd. Even that day, I remember saying, we don't want to be normal. And you want to be healthy. Everyone wants to be healthy. I think God wants us all to be healthy. But I think that God wants us to have a passion to understand that life is a gift. A day is a gift.
Yes.
A moment is a gift. And to start having a lot of long range planning to say, well, I'm going to do this year because I'm going to do this next year, seems to contradict James. And what he's saying is, look, you need to understand that this is the moment. What does God want me to do right here and right now? And if that's rest today, then rest today. But if God has given you a burden, a passion for the whole world and all the lost people of this world, then let's do something to make it count.
Come on. I believe that. And, you know, that passion, that's, I love everything about the passion movement for that reason, too. That word enthusiasm that drives so much of it is in God. So I think when you're in God, he gives you that supernatural strength. But I think we come back to what we were talking about earlier. When you're theology perhaps just centers solely around the cross, and we forget we are the church. I mean, imagine, I think the great cloud of witnesses would just love to be alive right in this moment, because not only has Jesus gone to the cross, but he's also risen again, filled all of us who are Christ followers, sealed us until the day of redemption with his Holy Spirit. So we're all filled with the Spirit of God, and Jesus is coming back. So we are the church that's living between the two advents of Christ and are filled with the Spirit of God. If we can't do something awesome, who's going to? I'm just like, really, people? This is it. We get to run this leg of this bit. And, you know, I just don't want to sit down. 2.2 in the mortgage, whatever that is, if that's what the world... And I think when your theology maybe just stops at the cross and you forget there's this resurrection power that's available to you, then what you're looking at is to try to just control, balance... And we take worldly knowledge and we call that wisdom. And I just think, wow, that's not really wisdom, because we should be able to push the envelope in certain areas.
Well, you know, so much of our theology stops at the cross and we miss the resurrection, but so much of our theology also stops with us. Mm-hmm. And we forget that God put us in a dying world of billions of people.
Totally.
And it is our mandate, not his mandate, our mandate is to go and tell them
Absolutely.
That Jesus is alive. If people love what they're hearing today, they can pick up Unstoppable, which is your new book. And that felt so smooth just then. I feel like I was listening to an interview. If people want to hear more about what's beating in your heart, they can pick up Unstoppable. It's been out for a little over a week now, 2 weeks maybe. And people can find it anywhere that books are sold. And if you love what you're hearing from Christine right now, please pick that up and dive into it. It's going to just give you more of that. You're going to be with us. We've got two opportunities this year.
Yes.
Passion Atlanta number 2, we're calling it. And Passion Houston this year. And so if that's where you're headed on your passion journey, you're going to hear Christine Kane speak and lift up Jesus. And there's nothing like watching you speak. You know, I'm like you, a student of preaching. And I really listen to anybody preach, honestly, good, bad, or indifferent. If they're preaching, I'll listen, because I can get something out of everything, and I can learn something from everyone. But I love watching you speak, because it's the way I want to speak. And I told somebody this the other day, and this is your interview, but they said, man, you rarely speak that you just don't go for it. I just don't know how you do it every single time. And I said, well, there's no preaching in heaven,
Holla.
As far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And so nobody's going to be really interested in me giving a sermon series once we get to heaven.
Yeah.
And so all the preaching I'm going to do and all the preaching you're going to do, we're going to do on earth. And so I said to this person, so that's why I preach like my pants are on fire every time I preach, because it might be the last time I ever preach.
Yeah.
Because I've got an eternity to look forward to that I'm not nervous about at all, because God has something for me in eternity that I'm going to love to do, but I'm not going to be preaching in heaven. And so I love that you preach with that fervency and that passion for Jesus and that clarity of the calling of people to bring their lives to Christ and let him do in and through them what they could never dream of doing without him. So thank you for joining us again this year. Thanks for taking a few minutes today to join us on the Passion Podcast. And we look forward to seeing you, Passion Atlanta number 2 and
yes.
Passion Houston.
And I can't, Louis, it's my honor. He's trying to cut this interview off, but I need to say, like, he's like the C.S. Lewis of our generation. And so I'm like, I'll listen to you every week on the Passion Podcast. And you've just been a gift to our generation without a doubt. And so for me to even be invited to, you know, just to play a small part on the Passion platform is like, it's one of the biggest honors for Nick and I. So I want to say that, but also you are just unbelievable. I have to tell you that. I say that to people. They go, you know, so for me, Louis is like the C.S. Lewis of our generation and probably the best theologian I know. I mean that, and let alone delivery. But I hope if someone's listening to this, that you do whatever you can to get to Passion. You would hate to get to heaven and think, I was alive during a move of God and I never saw it and I never noticed it, or I just was too busy. And I plan to be in the epicenter of wherever God is doing what Jesus does. And yeah. So if you are a college student, if you're a college pastor, and you have young people in that you have oversight over, whatever you do, you need to ensure that you're rearranging your church calendar to ensure that your young people come to this gathering. And it really isn't. This isn't about who's the speaker and who's the music. And of course, all that's going to be excellent and wonderful, because that's not the goal. That's just a byproduct of being a Christian. It should be excellent and it should be wonderful. But the goal is that they will encounter Jesus. I bring my own daughters because I want them to think it's normal that there's 40,000 people sitting in a stadium worshiping Jesus. I want that to be their normal, so that by the time they get to Passion Age 10 years from now, we're at the football stadium and that's the normal. And then that much more. But unless all of us in the body of Christ see what God's doing and say, let's get on board with what he's doing, let's bring our strength to it, let's add our faith to it, the one that is ultimately glorified is Jesus. And the more most of us can get on the same page and do this, the quicker we're going to do the thing that we're on the earth to do, which is evangelize the planet and usher in the second coming of Christ. So that's how great I think this is all is.
So great. I echo that. And obviously our hearts are to serve this generation. And so it's been great for us. We've had an 18-year run with Passion. And it's been great with us from the very beginning to know that, you know, we're not really trying to get anything out of this. We're just really trying to pour our lives into a new generation. That's what the scripture says. One generation will tell of your works to the next and will proclaim your great might. And so we're really in that transition zone, just wanting to lift up these college-age young people who honestly don't have a lot of things. I mean, women's events, look around. Youth events, look around. Leadership events, bunches of them. College age student events, not so many. But yet it's the most critical time of life, the most critical window of life for all of us. And so we love you guys. Christine and I both are thrilled to be able to serve you and to pour our lives into you, to try to inspire you to live for the things that matter most. And that's what Passion is all about. It is not a conference. It is not an event. We are not in the event business. We are in the business of trying to encourage people, including us, to live for the things that matter most, namely that Jesus is glorified in this life, because he is going to be glorified forevermore. Thanks, Christine Kane. Thanks, Nick Kane. If you want to know more about the A21 campaign, you can find that easily by just putting A21 campaign in your search bar, and you can join in on your campus, in your city, through your church, wherever you are, to raise your voice for freedom for people around this planet who are being held against their will even today. And you can be a part of God bringing freedom to their lives. If you want to follow Christine Kane, the same thing. Just wake up, because she's going to be there. Wherever you show up, she's going to be there, and you'll be able to take advantage of what God's doing through her. Love you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank
we'll
you,
see
Louis.
You soon.
Yes.
Atlanta and Houston.
I am so inspired just from being able to have those few moments in that interview, and Christine just talking about her desire to want to give everything she has, lean with everything she has into that opportunity to make her life count for Jesus. And really at Passion, I think if you could sum up Passion in one phrase, that's what Passion is all about. You just get one life. You only get one chance. And we want to encourage you today. We want to inspire you in every way we can to make sure that you use the gifts, the ability, the highs, the lows, the challenges, and the best days for God's glory in every way that you can. We hope that you guys enjoyed that. I know that God's going to use that in your life. Thank you, Christine, again for joining us today. And once again, Atlanta number one, closing out fast. Some people registered while we were listening to the podcast today. So make sure if that's where you're headed, that you make sure that you get in. And that means registering today. If you're coming to Passion Atlanta number two or Houston, we'll see you there. Thanks again for joining us today. We'll be back soon on the Passion Podcast.